I just want to say my name is Pat Baumgartner. I'm the pastor of Metropolitan Community Church of New York. And I'm here tonight with Patrick Donahue from the Church of God. For those of you who don't know, and I know that we have many MCCers here, but I hope that you will tolerate just a moment an introduction for those who are not familiar with MCC. Metropolitan Community Churches is an international community of faith. We have churches in 22 countries around the world, about 250 congregations in the United States. We were founded at a time in history when queer people, and I want to define my terms tonight. By queer, I mean every lesbian, every gay man, every bisexual, every transgender person, and straight allies who stand with us. So queer for us at MCC New York is a very inclusive term. Our use of the term reflects our desire to make the house of God a house of prayer for all people. We are also reclaiming what has sometimes been used as a rather negative epithet. And for those of us who are schooled in queer history, we know that as early as the 1910s in the United States, gay men in New York City in particular claimed that word queer as a way of crossing class and social boundaries and uniting themselves as people who shared love feelings for other men. So it's a word that we use not in a pejorative sense, but in an inclusive sense. Metropolitan Community Churches was founded at a point in history when queer people were not welcome or accepted in most mainline churches. The Reverend Troy Perry, as most of us gathered here tonight know, was excommunicated from his own denomination. Eventually, he found himself in a bar one night where a friend said to him, "No one cares about us, not even God." And Troy went home and reread the scriptures and came to the conclusion that they do not condemn us, that God's love is for all people, and took out an ad in a local newspaper and opened the first MCC in his living room with 12 other people. And since that time, as I mentioned, we've grown to become the largest queer-identified organization of any kind in the world today. Our basic tenet is that the love of God is for all the people of God, and it is that premise that has earned us the title the Human Rights Church in countries in Eastern Europe, Russia, Jamaica, Nigeria, places where we are really working for the right and recognition of queer people today and other marginalized people. Our fundamental belief is that human sexuality is a gift of God, and like all gifts, is to be used with gratitude and a sense of responsibility. We are who we are by the grace and design of God, and the Bible is God's liberating word for all creation. It does not condemn us, but sets all of us free. Having said that, I want to address the scriptures tonight from two points of entry. And one of the things that's going to happen here is that I'm going to speak for just 20 minutes. Then there'll be an interruption when Patrick will speak for 20 minutes. Then I'll speak for 20 minutes again. So you're going to have to sort of go back and forth here in terms of the information that you're taking in. But I want to address the scripture from two points of entry tonight. Passages that are used as texts of terror against queer people, and passages that are queer positive, that have something positive to say about lesbians, gay men, bisexual, and transgender people. So I want to start tonight with a text that I think is probably overly familiar to many of us, because it is used against queer people, not only by folks who are familiar with the Bible, but by folks who are manifestly unfamiliar with the Bible, and that's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. How many people here think that they know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay, to really understand the story, you have to do what we do with so many texts. We can't just isolate the story itself. We have to start a little bit before and read a little bit after. And what's happening? Abraham is with Sarah in the desert, and what happens? Three guests come along, right, who have no place to stay. They're angels in disguise, we might say. And what happens when the guests come along and Abraham sees them? Do you remember?
He
runs out to greet them and invite them in. Why does he do that? To protect them. That's right, because there are no Motel 8s or any of those kind of things in the desert. So greeting somebody, bringing them into your tent, is a matter of survival. He brings them in and waits on them hand and foot. Actually, Sarah waits on them hand and foot, but that's another story. Takes care of them, learns from them in the course of the conversation what? Why are they traveling? Where are they headed? They're headed towards Sodom to check out rumors of wickedness there. And Abraham becomes concerned. Why?
He has a relative
who lives there. His nephew Lot lives there. So he asks the angels in human guise, would God really destroy an entire city if there were 100 good people there? And what do the angels say? Okay, if there are 100 good people, we'll spread the city. Well, what if there are only 90? Well, okay. And it just goes on and on and on until they get down to 10, and finally they say, enough, cut. If there are only 10 good people, God will spare the city. And they set off for Sodom. What do? When they get there, they wait at the city gate, right? Which is how you check in. No, there are no hotels, as we said, so you have to find someone who's willing to offer you hospitality, but no one does. Finally, Lot comes out and offers hospitality and takes them back to his home. And what happens when they settle in for the night, bolt the door, or having their supper and getting ready to lay down for the night? What happens? All the townspeople come and knock on their door and say, send them out to us that we may
know them.
What's the Hebrew? Yada. That we may yada them. Used 943 times in the scripture, 10 of those times with a sexual connotation. Adam, yada, Eve, and she was Cain. But the rest of those times, meaning more like to know with your complete self, to know with your mind and your soul and your spirit. It's Hebrew sense of knowledge is different than our best set of knowledge. But it may actually have a sexual connotation here, because when they demand that Lot send his guests out, what does Lot offer to do instead? Send out his virgin daughters instead, with the implication being that the townspeople can do with them as they please. The angels say, no, this is not going to happen. They blind the townspeople, get Lot and his family running away to the mountains. Actually, he takes his two daughters, his wife, his sons-in-law, will not go with him because they think he's just kidding around, but he's not kidding around. His wife looks back and turns into a pillar of salt. No credible biblical scholar has ever given a really good explanation of that story. They end up in the mountains, Lot with his two daughters, and what happens?
Incest.
His daughters become concerned that they will never have husbands and bear offspring. And so they get their father drunk and sleep with him and each produce a child by their own father. On the basis of that story, people want to say that the Bible condemns homosexuality. But what is the real sin of this story? Not treating people with any sense of care or concern or hospitality. Even Ezekiel chapter 16 will say the sin of Sodom was that Sodom did not care for the poor, had surplus of plenty and didn't care what happened to anybody else. Jesus will refer to the story. In Matthew 10, when he sends the disciples out two by two, he says, if any town does not accept you, do what? Shake the dust from your feet and remember it will go worse for them than for Sodom at the day of judgment. Clearly, he understood that the meaning of Sodom and Gomorrah was about how we treat one another. There is what biblical scholars call a parallel story in Judges 19. Again, it's the story of somebody needing hospitality. A concubine runs away from her quote husband, her owner, goes back to her father's house because he's treating her so badly. The man goes to reclaim her. The guy gives her back to her owner. On their way home, they stop at a Benjamite town. No one again takes them in. Finally, an old Benjamite man takes them in. Again, the townspeople come and knock on the door. This time, they send the concubine out. And the townspeople rape her through the night. She dies on the doorstep. In the morning, the Israelite man cuts her body up into 12 pieces and ships them out to the tribes of Israel, saying, this is how Israelites are treating other Israelites. On the basis of that story, nobody condemns heterosexuality. Nobody pretends like rape or intended rape is the definition of what it means to be a heterosexual child of God. In the same way, we cannot pretend that homosexual rape or its intention is the definition of what it means to be a queer child of God. There are six texts of terror in the Bible. We call them texts of terror because they are used in a negative way against queer people. And we can go through every one of those texts in a very systematic, scholarly, sound way and show it, just show that that's not what the text is about. Another passage I doubt that I'll have time to get through, but I'll start and I will pick up when I come back. I have a timer back here telling me I have about 5 minutes. Two texts that are really, really hard on us in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20, right? What is the common English translation there? When we look at the Hebrew there, actually it would be more literally translated, thou shalt not sleep the sleep of a woman with another man. So a man shall not sleep the sleep of a woman with another man. Which we're not exactly sure what that means, but it clearly has some kind of sexual connotation going on there. What are these two chapters located in? They're located in something called the Levitical Holiness Code, which is Leviticus 17 through 20, and we really need to read all of that to get the context. But what's the basic premise of the Holiness Code? The Israelites have entered into the promised land, and what does God tell them, basically? Don't do what the people who are living there do. Be my people. Do these things that will identify you as my people. Do not sleep the sleep of a woman with another man. Don't tattoo yourself. Don't throw your babies into the fire. Don't mix fabrics, a lesson to some people in this day. Don't eat animal meat if the blood has been shed. You know, don't eat animals that have hooves. Don't eat certain kinds of shellfish. All of this is about identity. What do we know about the Canaanites in terms of one important identity factor? We know that they had their own faith and that they did certain things that identified them with that faith. And one of the things they did was to offer sexual sacrifices in the temple. Christians tend to be very derogatory about that and call it prostitution. It was not prostitution. It was sexual sacrifice. Because we don't practice it doesn't make it prostitution. It was their way of offering praise to God, their way of asking God to bless them to be fertile. There were heterosexual acts that were regarded as sexual sacrifice, and there were homosexual acts that were regarded as sexual sacrifice. Do not sleep the sleep of a woman with another man. It is toiba, the Hebrew. It is an abomination. Every time that word is used in the Hebrew scriptures, it refers to idolatry. Do not do things that associate you with the worship of another god. And that is exactly what is going on here. The Hebrews are moving into a new land. They are intermarrying, and they are worshiping other gods and engaging in the practices that associate them with other gods. This text has a connection to Romans 1:24, but I know I definitely don't have time to do that. I have just 2 minutes, so let me just say this to you again. Genesis 19, not a condemnation of homosexuality, a story about how we should treat one another. Leviticus 18 and 20, not a condemnation of homosexuality, but precepts about how to identify yourself as a worshiper of God, and offering sexual sacrifice to another god just does not cut it in the land of Canaan. Yes.